temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Slap through the left side, off De La Cruz's glove and into left base hit. Here comes one run in. Here's Reynolds in to score. O'Neill Cruz goes the other way, drives in two. Pirates lead 2-1.
It's a beautiful day.
Come on, IT. Jump in.
Hey!
Hey!
Hey! Hey. Buckles go all the way.
Tapped up third. It's like a swinging bunt. Candelario Fields flips to first, gets the out. But Cruz is in.
You're going to get Grindahl throws back to the
RBI
pitcher in
Hayes.
Here.
It's 3-1 Pirates.
Holy!
Line pass third toward the left field corner. McCutcheon will score easily. And that's another double for Brian Reynolds. A two out, two strike hit. Knocking in a run. 4-1 Bucco. 4-1 Pirates. 1-2 from Bednar. Right there, strike three call. 99 down the heart of the plate. Martini is erased, and the Pirates
Martini
win
was a great
Bednar
character for one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Goes to 4-0, and the Bucks start the homestand with a win over the rival Reds. That's
a beautiful day.
Maybe they'll hit Paul? Perhaps we've overdone it here, but how are you?
I'm good. I cannot complain today. I'm doing really well.
It's a beautiful day.
Hey!
IT even jumped in there.
Hey!
Hey! Buckles go all the way.
He almost did anyway. Perhaps we're overdoing it. It's only one game, but it's two in a row, and it was Skeens again. Thank you, City Limits. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I like singing that song. I can't get enough of it. Everything good over there?
Everything is good. I got Lucky Charms today. It's never bad when I have Lucky Charms.
I've noticed that. On days when you're unusually spry, there's Lucky Charms involved, and Paul's on the record as saying he would buy and eat Lucky Charms even if they didn't have the marshmallows City Limits, whereas most people are the other way around. They only eat the marshmallows. You only buy Lucky Charms to get the marshmallows.
I ate all the marshmallows, and then once the marshmallows were all gone, digging at the very bottom of the box, just realized I'm not eating any of this.
Paul, do you like the chocolate milk you get with things like Cocoa Puffs, Cocoa Krispies? When you're done with the actual cereal, you still have a little treat of chocolate milk at the end. Do you remember that as a kid?
Yeah.
The little bowl of chocolate milk as a leftover treat?
Yes, and that was always the best part about it, if you asked me.
How about Fruity Pebbles? You ever try them?
Fruity Pebbles are the little... What are they?
They're the sister company of Cocoa Pebbles.
I'm trying to... No... Fruity Pebbles. Yeah, I love Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah, Fruity Pebbles. Unbelievable. Yeah. They're like little crystals.
Flakes.
Right, little flakes. Yeah. Tiny miniature flakes, you might say. You'd have a hard time finding a sugar-based cereal that I didn't like. I don't think there was one. All of them. Corn Pops, Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks, Captain Crunch of all flavors. You name one, I ate it, City Limits. I ate it, and I ate it dry or with milk. You?
Nah, this is going to be, I don't even think I should admit this, but I will. I don't eat cereal with milk because I don't like milk. I will just eat dry cereal and just pick it from the box.
Paul, I would think that was odd, but just last night I had a honeycomb mixed with granola and found out we were out of almond milk. I'm lactose intolerant, so I can't really have regular milk, so I ate it dry anyway. So I can relate to this guy.
Yeah.
You're eating Lucky Charms dry. Yeah, you're in good company
depends
here.
Depends on what it is.
These are your people.
Depends on what the cereal is I eat.
The other question that came up in the hallway today, and again, I've had this Ethiopian coffee this morning, Paul, and it's quite powerful, was if you're at a lake, is that still a beach? Can a lake have a beach? Or do you consider yourself to be at the beach if, like City Limits, you were just where you were, Geneva on the lake?
Geneva on the lake, Ohio.
In Ohio?
Yes.
Was there a beach? Was there sand?
There was a beach
then
with
you were
sand.
At the beach.
I agree. Now, we had this conversation during the 5-hour marathon.
Dickerson, you did?
It was me, Doran, and Callis. This is why it continues to linger on, where Doran said there is no way that you can consider it a beach because it's not an ocean. You're not going to, like, Myrtle Beach or Rehoboth. Anything like that, you're going to Geneva on the lake, which is a lake and not referred to as a beach.
They're out of their minds.
I agree.
I grew up in Buffalo near Canada, where you have Shirkston Beach. You have a million beaches up there that are right on the lake. Paul?
I would say it's a beach. There's sand and water. Why not?
Mel,
it's not. It's not the kind of beach I would go to, but it is a beach.
I could show you beaches in Canada you would love. All you could smoke cigars, drink, play wiffle ball all day, and sit on the beach. You're at a beach. You would love it there.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but my point is I like the ocean.
So do I.
I like the ocean. That's just me.
Well, it's you and a lot of people, including me, Ron, and City Limits. IT, everything good over there with him today?
Fantastic.
Incredible.
He is the boyfriend from what show again?
Full House.
Yeah, he's Kimmy Gibbler's boyfriend who didn't talk a lot. That's IT. Paul, that was a good game last night. We're going to get into some Steelers stuff. We have more guests than Jimmy Kimmel today, which is wonderful. We have Destiny's Child at 11. It's JP Roofing off the top. Destiny's Child at 11. Shelty at noon, where we're going to ask the tough questions. Because, again, I criticize Shelty on Twitter the other day, and four or five people, why don't you ever ask him the tough questions on Tuesday instead of giving it to him so easy, huh? We ask him the tough questions every week. I immediately blocked everybody who said that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they want us to go at him like, you know, insulting him or swearing at him, questioning his. The only thing you can do is say, as we've said many times, going back this year, to why are you going with Bednar and not Chapman in the first 2 weeks? Like, would you switch to Chapman? Bednar's not getting the job. He answers the question.
Right.
Last week, it was about you were asking him, you know, why did you use Bednar in the 4-0 game when you knew the next day you basically were short in your bullpen? That's all we can do. This week, I'm going to ask him about Grandal's throws back to the pitcher, which are driving me nuts. I'll ask him about the lineup last Thursday, I think, in the game-clinching game against the Reds. You ask a guy a question. If you're not satisfied with the answer, you can follow up, unless you're at a Penguins news conference where they cut off all follow-up questions. Then you ask a follow-up, and then you're done. Then what else do you want us to do? Like, go after the guy? Crawl through the telephone and challenge him to a fight? What do you want us to do?
Well,
but everybody thinks they're the one that could ask the real tough questions, and we won't.
They always, always, always think, like, the tough question is, like, being real, like, we're at a bar, arguing, you know, having a bar argument with somebody and getting in his face, and,
right.
You know what I mean, swearing and being contentious and all that stuff. Number one, that's not how you do it. Number two, you don't need to do that to get the answers you're looking for.
What as if here's how we can
number
start
three,
the show.
Number three, let me just say this, okay?
Yes.
Number three, everybody that's, I'm going to ask the tough questions, right? They are what I would call keyboard warriors. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They're tough guys while they're sitting in their mommy's basement screaming, Mom, the meatloaf. That's what they are. They're fake tough guys. And most of them all have anonymous Twitter handles or X handles or whatever the hell we call it nowadays.
Right.
Right? They literally could not win a fight if Mike Tyson climbed in their ass. They still couldn't win a fight. But yeah, they're the tough guys. Yes, they're still the tough guys who are always out here saying, you've got to ask the tough questions. Meanwhile, they wouldn't ask. If you put them in front of Derek Shelton, what would happen, Joe?
The guy who can't, they would melt.
They would mild.
They would
be mild.
They would melt like a stick of butter.
They would be mild, meek, and, you know, hey, Derek, how you doing? Great job. Right. Yeah.
No, it's
get
the same.
Get out of here with this, will you please?
Yes.
Get out of here with this.
The guy who keeps on me about it, I think I blocked him, actually, was a chef. And I have tremendous respect for people who work as cooks and chefs. Tremendous respect. I worked in the restaurant business for 10 years. I didn't have a full-time job till I was 29. I worked at a pizza place, Bocce's Pizza in Buffalo. I worked at Epicurus in Buffalo. I worked at a place called Charlie Bubbles in Buffalo as a busboy. Somebody stole my tip money the first night I was there. I moved to Pittsburgh. I worked at a place called Sirloin with a picture of Sirloin in the window, a guy in a top hat. That was in Squirrel Hill. I worked at the first Brugger's Bagels in Squirrel Hill. I wore a purple hat and worked at Everything Yogurt at Fifth Avenue Place. I have tremendous respect for restaurant workers of all kinds, chefs and cooks in particular.
Well,
but I'm not going to go to his place of business and say, you need a little more white wine. You need a little more reduction on the white wine in that one dish. You do your job, I'll do mine. I've been doing this for 30 years. I know how to ask questions.
Well,
I know which ones you want to ask, but we can open the show with what question would you ask Derek Shelton? Step on up. Get out from behind the keyboard and pick up the phone. What do you want us to ask Derek Shelton today?
But I'm just saying, they all say they would. Oh, this is what I would ask. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't ask that. You know what I mean?
And certainly not in the manner
I'm
they
like
wanted
you,
to ask.
I'm a lot like you, right? I have what I would call Dikembe Mutombo syndrome now.
Isn't it fun?
I don't play games with any of them. If you say something I don't like, there's a few key phrases if you use, you know. If you use them, I don't even read the rest.
It's like an automatic ejection.
Gone. You're gone.
It's like David Bell last night.
You know what I mean? You're gone.
Hey, Bob. Do you think the Pirates could bring back Leland to replace Shelty?
Hey, Bob.
So your question for Shelty at 412-928-9370. What would you want to ask the Pirates manager today when he's on? Go ahead. Step up to the plate. You also get the bonus of talking to IT intern Trent, who's answering the phones this morning. And one thing that's driving me nuts, Paul, are the throws back to the pitcher. We talked about it yesterday. It's been driving me nuts for a while. These lazy little lob balls. And granted, you know, you don't need to stand up and like go through an entire motion if you're a catcher and throw strikes back to the pitcher. But Grandal's been driving me crazy with this for a while, and now teams are starting to take advantage of it. Plus, yeah, your pitcher, there he is, not throwing a guy out at second. Your pitcher is forced to make plays on the mound with balls coming. Skeens had to reach down for one in the dirt again last night. That drives me nuts. There was another base running error last night. It was Rowdy who, for some reason, decided to try to run to third. A lot of the fundamentals are worth asking about, but you know what? In my opinion, a lot of them are on the players, right?
Well, yeah, that's the point.
Like, does Rowdy or Jared Triolo, who made the same mistake 2 weeks ago, need to be told that on a ground ball in front of you, you don't try to advance to third base?
Right.
Mr. DeFrancesco, back when I was 8 years old playing for the Cardinals at Garnett Field in Amherst, told us that.
Well, that's the thing, like I said, you know, some of it's on the players, some of it's on, you know, the manager's strategy, but the bottom line is there are very simple plays that sometimes the Pirates don't make. I just don't understand how difficult it is for people to to grasp that. Like, is it on Shelton that Grandal threw a lollipop back to the pitcher the other day? It's not.
I want to ask him and McHenry about that today. whether this is overblown and I'm and myself and you and other people are losing their minds on this, or whether this is strange, the way that he throws the ball back to the pitcher. By the way, and apropos of nothing, the Mets have started to get real hot, and that might take, not that the Pirates were ever going to get him, except in a dream world that we could indulge in once in a while. That might take Pete Alonso and everybody else off the table for the Mets, Paul.
Right. They were so bad for so long, it was like laughable.
They've won 6 in a row, 8 out of 10, and they're right there. Of course, everybody's right there except for the Rockies and Marlins. Everybody's in the race in the National
There's
League.
Literally,
right?
There's literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait, 6, actually 7. 7 teams, 8 teams that are within 2 games. I'm sorry.
Now 10. I see it. 10.
There's 9 teams that are within 3 games of the second and third wild card spot.
Yeah. I think the Braves,
9 teams.
The Braves are going to get one. We know that. And then it's every man for himself after that.
Yeah.
Oh, the Cardinals. Oh, the Cardinals. And I'm going to ask Derek Shelton about that lineup he used last week. Don't worry about that. What would you ask him at 928-9370? Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. I can't remember if I ran down the guests, so I will again. Destiny's Child at 11, Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette, Shelty at noon, and Michael McHenry at 1, who's great. Him and Brault are great on
You look
on
at the difference between
side.
The National League and the American League. Wow.
What's happening in the American League?
Well, I mean, the American League, there's, you know, the Red Sox are 2.5 games out of the wild card, but then the next team is 5 games out. I mean, it almost looks like the 3 wild card teams are separating themselves.
Certainly certainly in the AL East, you know, the Orioles or the Yankees are going to be there. Yeah.
It's a little different
over there.
It's like...
But there's still a lot of teams alive. But the National League, every team, except the crappy Rockies and Marlins, has a very realistic chance to be in, including the Pirates. So how do they separate themselves? What did you think of Skeens' performance last night? How would you rate it?
I mean... What's tough about Skeens is the curve is so high for him.
Yeah.
Like it was I mean, obviously, there's not much to pick apart about his performance. He was really, really good. But I think he was good. He did everything you think he's going to do. But you kind of feel like, well, he could have been a little bit better, you know?
Yeah.
Which is so unfair to him because... Every pitcher in America probably would take 6 innings, 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. I mean, over 9 innings, that performance was worthy of less than a 2 ERA, 10.5 strikeouts. He only walked 1. I don't think he had his A-level stuff from a fastball perspective, but he made that adjustment and proved again that he's a pitcher, not just a thrower.
Right.
I give him an A- for his performance.
I don't get it.
What?
I just don't. I don't get how he's in 6 games raised expectation levels to the height where he has a game like he had last night. We're kind of like, he was all right. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly.
That's just he's raised the expectation levels so much. That we're looking at it and just saying, well, I mean, he was okay. It wasn't A-level stuff. Wasn't as great as we've seen. Well, you know, kind of wanted him to do a little bit more.
Well, the Reds were they were geared up for that fastball, and they hit him, and then he adjusted, right?
Yeah, right. So I'm just saying it's kind of interesting. In 6 games, he's already raised what we expect from him. To a point where I'm just not even sure it's really all that realistic anymore. You know what I mean? Like there's going to be a point where you just say basically that, you know, he's not going to be able to live up to expectations.
I wonder if he's going to make the All-Star game. He has 53 strikeouts and 7 walks in 39 innings. His whip is below 1.
Yeah.
His ERA is at 2.29, and he's 4-0. He should be in the All-Star game. Do you agree with that? Plus, And forget about any of that. Everybody in America wants, who likes baseball, I would imagine, wants to see him in the All-Star game.
That's the key. That's the key. Is that the All-Star game is for the fans.
Yes.
And, you know, if you think about it, fans want to see him. They really do. You know who leads the league? I was just looking just to see, just for the heck of it. You know who leads the league in strikeouts?
Who? Wayne Ranger Suarez? Glasnow? Who?
Tyler Glasnow.
He's been incredible this year.
125.
How about K's per nine?
You know what
his
whip is?
What?
0.91.
I know. And Skeens is at 0.99.
And here's the worst part. He's only 7-5 because remember they had a streak of like 35 innings in a row that he pitched that they didn't score a run for.
Right, whereas Skeens is getting great
run
support. Yeah,
I mean, if he just got a little bit of run support, you know what I mean? He would be, I mean, how about this? NLCS game one.
Mm.
Skeens against Glasnow.
I'd sign up for that.
How about that? That would be tremendous.
You know what jumps off the page, too, as I look at this? How about little Charles Nelson Morton? Good old Nelly. How about him? And the career that this dude has fashioned since he left Pittsburgh. He's one of the most accomplished clutch pitchers of the modern era, which is crazy to think about, but true.
Here's what I'll tell you, though.
And he keeps winning 14 games yes. and striking out a bunch of people. He's unbelievable.
Where's he even at nowadays?
He's in Atlanta, where he goes 14-6, 9-6, 14-12. He's 4-3 this year. All his peripheral numbers
are unreal. I'll tell you something that is going to...
He's 40, Charlie Morton.
If it continues to go this way, I'll tell you what would prohibit Paul Skeens from winning the Cy Young Award.
What?
Ranger Suarez, who is 10-1, he's got a 1.77 ERA, a whip of 0.88. That's absurd.
I wish the Pirates had signed Charlie Morton. The Braves got him again last year to a one-year $20 million deal with a club option for this year, which they exercised. Man, do I wish they had signed him. He's really good. Yeah, him, Suarez, and other guys, too. Glasnow, even Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller has great numbers this year. He's making a run at this thing. He's going to be going for his ninth win. We're in the middle of June. All of which comes back in full circle to trying to take advantage of this while you can. You know what number I saw? City Limits, would you like to jump in at any point? You feel mildly depressed today.
No, I would love to. We've been filling up the boards with the callers. Very excited.
Oh, are they in? Are they in on the Sheltie questions? All right. I'll throw in one number before we get to them. And now I completely forget what the number was. Oh, it was on pitching injuries. Check this out, Paul. Last year, USA Today did like a deep dive on this.
Right.
So last year, 2023, this was a line out of a story at USA Today. Of the 64 hardest throwers in baseball this season, which was last season, that's based on average fastball velocity, nearly half have undergone Tommy John surgery or are expected to undergo it soon. They were already injured, that type of thing. So, yeah, that makes sense. About half the guys who throw the ball as hard as Jones and Skeens in that neighborhood are destined for Tommy John surgery. It's that simple. You have a 50% chance, approximately, to have that happen to you. And lots of guys bounce back from it these days, too. But the bottom line is, we're dealing, you know, with a time bomb on both these guys. So take advantage of it while you can. Please, Ben Charrington, do something. All right, questions for Sheltie. Let's hit the lines. Limits?
Let's start off with Tom and Jeanette.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I just want to, I'll get to the Sheltie thing in a minute, but I want to know from you guys, is there a protocol, like what can be asked? And here's the reason I'm asking this question. Let's go back to football season, the Deontay Johnson game in Cincinnati where he clearly quit and wouldn't block. At the press conference later that week, I think it was Cavalli that asked Tomlin, what did you think of Johnson's effort? Some something like that. I'm paraphrasing. And Tomlin came back, what do you mean? Now, Tomlin knew what he meant, right? Everybody was talking about it. Everybody wanted to ask a question. So Cabali clarified it and said, do you think his effort was satisfactory? Again, I'm paraphrasing. And Tomlin came back again and said, I don't know. What do you think? And then Cabali quit asking. Now, Tomlin asked him an open-ended question. What do you think? Now, to me, the answer would have been, I think what everybody thinks, that when the guy doesn't get the ball, he doesn't want to block George Pickens in later in the year. Now, Deontay Johnson's gone. Hey, we sure showed him. Well, you didn't show him during the season.
Well, you can come back with that. You can come back. And Paul and I have been in these situations many times where you get the old, what do you think? You can come back to me and respectfully say one of two things. People aren't here to hear what I think. It's the Mike Tomlin news conference for a reason. They're here to, you know, they want to know what you think. You can say that respectfully, or you can say, what I think is what everybody in America saw on that play, which was Deontay Johnson quit. He stopped playing. That's why this is an obvious question for today. You know, what did you make of that? Will there be any discipline? Paul, I'm sure someone's come back at you with the old, what do you think?
What do you think? Right. And I think it's important, you know, it's important if you're going to give an answer there that you're respectful.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be contentious.
It could be content. It could be. Respectful, yes. And contentious, right. Sort of are in the same.
But
can
you
live
know
in
mean?
The
like,
same neighborhood.
Yeah. But my point is, you know, I mean, I'll give you a great example of what I kind of thought was maybe a little over the top. Remember when Pat Chambers was here and
the Penn State basketball
Penn State
coach
played Pitt.
Yeah.
And Pony was in the crowd. And Pat Chambers, he asked something about, you know, because this was like another year where they were clearly going to be terrible or whatever. And Pat Chambers was like, yeah, you know, this, you know, we're definitely making progress. We're definitely doing these things. You know, people should be able to reach out and be able to see the progress we're making. And Pony responds with, because Penn State, before they had played Pitt, lost to like, you know, Loyola and, you know, whatever. They lost to like two teams they're supposed to beat.
Yeah.
And he said, wouldn't beating Loyola and, I don't know, I'm just throwing out names, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't beating Loyola and William & Mary, wouldn't beating Loyola and William & Mary really show people that you've made progress?
See, that's...
That's probably a little over the line. And he was like...
Although there's a way to ask that,
and
too.
He basically said... And Pat Chambers said, well, that's a cheap shot. He said something like, that's a cheap shot. I guess funny one-liner, but it's a cheap shot. Or whatever. And that ended the whole interaction. Whereas there was probably a better... You could say, there's a way you could ask it. The way Pony asked it, he came off like somebody who, if I was Pat Chambers, I probably would have walked around the table and punched him in the face. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't remember that.
Yes.
But it gives me a chuckle. You could say, Paul, back to
him. It was
him,
funny. I laughed.
You could say a lot of people would disagree with you based on your last two losses. What do you say to that?
And that's my point about being respectful. You know, you could make the same point without trying to be a jerk. What I don't like is are people that when they're in a press conference, they try and make it about them. You know what I'm saying?
So when this guy says, is anything off limits? I mean, no question really should be off limits. But
what's funny is they try and make it off limits.
Well, who would know better than that than city limits? Who's next?
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, exactly.
One of our top fans, Robin West Mifflin.
Hey, Rob.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good.
I would take my glasses off and look at Shelty and be like, why do you throw these popcorn lineups out there, man, just giving away these games that we know we can't afford to give away? Like, we can't, you know, that lineup in St. Louis when I just said that Nick Gonzalez is 25, he don't need a day off until the season's over, the way he's been playing. And I would ask him one more question. Like, I don't know I would ask him, can you go in the office and ask the owner to make a move right now? I'm not worried about no prospects. I would ask him, can he walk in that office and ask the owner, can we make a splash trade right now before everybody in the bidding war gets crazy in 2-3 weeks? Those are the two questions I would ask you.
Well, I mean, I think that's the big. Those are good questions, actually. They're probably questions we're going to ask, right? But again, I don't think we'll use the phrase popcorn lineups. But you can ask, you know, the lineup, that, for instance, the lineup against the Cardinals. It was confusing. Do you know what I mean? It was very confusing to us. Would you explain, you know, your reasons and all that other stuff?
Yeah, especially when you asked him about Bednar, why he used him in a 4-0 game.
Right.
When he knew the bullpen would be short the next day. And his answer was, we wanted to win the game right in front of us. How did that same philosophy not apply to the St. Louis game? Why wasn't it a we've got to win the game in front of us philosophy there? And Rob is, I mean, Gonzalez just had a day off on a Monday. And this game was either a Wednesday or a Thursday. I didn't get it. And that'll certainly be on the table today. All right. What else would...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Yes, Shelty. Questions coming in for Shelty, since everybody or a lot of people think they can do it better than we do. Hey, how about asking him why he allows these guys to continue to play lazy and sloppy ball? Is that how we should phrase it? Shelty, why do you continue to allow these guys to play lazy and sloppy ball? We've asked him and will ask him about base running and things like that. Does he consider benching people in certain situations like that? That's a good question, I think. But we also saw last night that the Pirates aren't the only team that, for example, has a bunch of base running miscues. The Reds had two players picked off in the same game. It's not easy to get picked off twice in the same game. How often do we see pitcher pickoffs anymore anyway?
Especially with De La Cruz or whatever he is.
Yeah.
You know.
Another guy, Rob Saltis. Why do you shy away from using social media, unlike other hosts on 93.7? Rob, do you realize the irony there? You're asking me that question as part of a question on a Q&A on the platform X that appears every single week.
Was there a question there?
What are you talking about?
Wait, what is that? What is that clip? Was there a question there? What's that from?
Was there a question there?
That's when I was telling Shelty how bad the Pirates lineup is.
Yeah.
Remember that one? City Limits?
Oh, yes. You love that.
I said, I'm not sure you have one hitter in their prime who's like a high-impact hitter right now.
So that was Shelton saying to you, was there a question
yes.
there?
Yes. Right.
See, that right there, is there a question there? That's kind of a different version of, well, what do you think?
Yeah. And I don't remember what I said when he said, is there a question there? And like I said, respectful and contentious can live in the same neighborhood. And I've had a lot of contentious exchanges with people. Anyway.
And I think the thing about it is, too, you know, not to harbor or, you know, belabor this point, but yeah, trying to, for guys like you and I who have been in locker rooms for 30 years and have been in press conferences for 30 years, I think one of the things that's really, really kind of interesting is in a situation like that, when you're doing, you know, a radio show, you got to do with a guy every week. But like, it, I know you. I've been in press conferences with you, and you know me. I mean, if someone came back at me with like that in a press conference, and especially if it was somebody that, you know what I'm saying, that I already have a little bit of a contentious relationship with, I might be a little snarky with my reply.
Yeah. Although I didn't ask a question. What was, there. I did not ask him a question. Yeah, so well, he was right. Within his rights.
Okay. So here's the thing. I remember now I was trying to think of one of your signature moments in a press conference. I remember you asked Walt Harris something about his job. You know, this was after another atrocious loss or whatever. No, I think it was the Monday after one of the, you know, their atrocious losses.
Yeah.
And you kind of asked him about his job, you know, are you worried about your job or something like that, right? And he, like, sent you, like, a real, like, dart. You know what I'm saying? It was like, you know, we have a pretty good record here. You know that, right? And you kind of started laughing. And he was like, no, it wasn't funny. You understand we have a good record here. You remember how he got really...
things can get contentious.
That was a heated exchange. I'll give you another one that was a heated exchange. Gormy the Owl. Gormy the Owl. We were out at Notre Dame. We were covering Pitt basketball out at Notre Dame. It was classic Jamie Dixon loss. They're playing Notre Dame. They're down one, I think. Yeah, they were down one. Lamar Patterson, who was their best player, catches the ball at the top of the key with about 6 seconds left, rips it. He's driving. And, you know, in Notre Dame, the media, we're sitting on the baseline. So right. Kevin and I are on the baseline watching the whole thing. It was like the Red Sea was parting. Lamar Patterson was one dribble going to score. He takes a dribble to get around the corner. Jamie Dixon calls a timeout.
I remember that.
To set up a play. So, Gormy the Owl. and you remember, like, nobody was more glossed over, despondent, just completely, you know, angry and everything else after a loss than Jamie. Jamie was one of the worst after a loss. I can remember. Maybe there's other guys that you can think of that were worse. But after a loss, Jamie was just, and so Gorman asks him one question that gets him going down the road of, okay, now you're really starting to irritate me. And then Gorman asks him, why would you take a timeout when your best player had the ball with a clear path to the hoop? Gorman goes off. I mean, Dixon goes off on this like thing and this and that, and he ends it with, you do understand that, right, Kevin?
I got those from Jamie once in a while.
Jamie, would you agree with me, though? Jamie was as bad as we've ever had around here when it came to handling losses.
Yeah, he took it hard.
You know?
I asked him about a double team once. I said he was, and was it was like an afterthought part of the question, like blah, 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 and he was double teamed on the play. And Jamie, he was also, and I like Jamie a lot, he was also the all-time contrarian.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Jamie... The sky is definitely blue today. I wouldn't say blue. Yeah. You know, it's a little bit off gray, a little bit white, a little bit maybe a mixture of both colors. I wouldn't say blue.
Yeah.
I said double teamed. He said, well, first of all, he wasn't double teamed.
Yeah.
And I did come back with, well, two players were guarding him. So in my experience, that's a double team. But anyway, go ahead and answer. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, Jamie was the ultimate. Jamie, you guys lost the game by 1 point. And you were 3 of 41 from the free throw line. Do you think free throw shooting was a big factor in why you lost? Well, I mean, you guys would say that, but you know, I'm saying that you guys. But I tell you, I'll give you one other funny one. Was Ralph? Do you remember Ralph? Was his name Ralph, the trib guy?
Yes. Yeah.
So he covers Pitt. So remember Randy Shannon from Miami?
Right.
All-time great at Miami, you know, whatever, played there, you know, this is, they hire him. Well, then they fire him after, you know, I think he went like 9-4 and they fired him or whatever it was, 8, you know. So
We're at the press conference with Wani, and Ralph says, given, you know, your protege and Randy Shannon, you know, one of your guys, I mean, he just got fired with 9 wins. I'm just wondering, like, has that made you reflect all day on your job security? Oh, boy. And then...
job security questions never really
then
fly.
Then later in the day, Wani calls me. And what is Ralph's problem? I can't believe it. I'm screaming and yelling at him. I was like, dude, he works for me on our paper. What do you want me to say about it? But yeah, there's been some funny times when people have gotten heated. But I think when, you know, it got bad when Walt, at the end of the Walt era, it got a little ugly. You know what I mean? With just sort of, it became a thing of where, you know, everybody over there knew that they were probably getting fired, and so they were miserable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many. And you can always tell when it's starting to go south. And, you know, the best answer, I think I told you this a few weeks ago when we were talking West Virginia quarterbacks, was after Pitt, the year after 13-9, West Virginia lost here.
Yeah.
And Pat White never ran the ball. Like, there were no design runs. So I asked him after the game, I said, if you had run more, do you think you guys would have had a better chance to win? And he said, if ifs were fifths, we'd all be drunk. Yeah. We'd all be drunk.
If ifs were fifths, yeah. I remember Joe Bendel and Gail Catlett.
Oh, I was there for that one.
I got the block shot or whatever. And Gail Catlett's like, well, I mean, you know, I mean, have you ever played basketball or whatever? He's like, did you ever get your, you know, what was it like for you when you got your shot block? And Joe Bendel said, never happened.
That was an all-time great answer.
You know,
never happened.
One other thing, to your point about Jamie the Contrarian, this is the classic Jamie the Contrarian story ever. So we have, and here's the thing, I love Jamie. I think, you know, he's a really good dude. And what I liked is when you talked to him when the mics weren't on, he would talk to you like, you could talk to him about, you know, whatever. And he would give you an insight into stuff. So there was a media availability, you know, set up by one Greg Hotchkiss, wherever he's at nowadays.
Legend.
He's at Columbia, I think. But anyway, it was on the Peterson Event Center floor. Remember, they would bring all the players out onto the floor, and then Jamie would come, and so there'd be a big scrum right there on the floor. So I'm sitting in the stands, and, you know, I got pretty much everything I needed in terms of the players, and I was just waiting for Jamie to come. So Jamie comes in, sits down, and somehow we get into, a question about, I had written that basically – the strength of schedule component, the non-conference strength of schedule component is flawed. I said, because you look at what West Virginia's doing, and West Virginia had played like Texas. This was before they were Big 12. You know, they had played like Texas. They played like 4 or 5 real games.
Yeah.
But Jamie, because he was the master of manipulating the, you know, those metrics, the non-conference strength of schedule for Pitt was actually higher than West Virginia's, because West Virginia played like 3 or 4 of these 290, 300 type teams, right? Jamie just played a bunch of teams in the 100 to 150.
He was great at that.
Right. So he sits down next to me, like, you know, and starts in on the whole thing. So now we're arguing, because I was like, well, Jamie, you're wrong. Here's why you're wrong. I judge a schedule by the best teams you play, not the worst team. Who cares about it? You know what I mean? To me, and I was like, to me, you beating a 150 team is no different than you beating a 320 team. What are we talking about? So we went. So now the players are all left. All the media is standing on the court waiting, and Jamie will not let it go. Like, we literally went 15, 20 minutes. Everybody's standing on the court. We're arguing. I'm like, and Hotchkiss is like, hey, Jamie's like, wait, one more thing. He could not let it go, because I kept saying, but Jamie, the best teams on your non-conference schedule is how you should judge. I said, if it was up to me, I would say if you're a power conference team and you play somebody that's 120 or below, it all counts as 120. So yeah, if you play 121 or 300, no, there's a big difference. He's going on and on, and he's going. And then he points to, like, you know, it was Boston College or somebody, whoever was the worst team in the Big East, right, that at that point was like, well, look at them. They're 240. Yeah, that means they're really, really, really bad.
Well, you're right. He was always fun to just exchange ideas with. And he would always talk to you. One little...
He would argue with you. That's what I liked about it.
Or give you a great anecdote. One time I did a story on Paul Westhead, who I love because he had the balls to play basketball different than anybody else and just run and run and run and run and score and score and score. He didn't care. He won a WNBA title playing that way. He won with the Lakers, not playing that way, but he did win with the Lakers. And then to Loyola Marymount. And I said, did you ever run into this guy? And turned out Jamie used to play out in California near Loyola in the summers. And so we got to know Westhead. And he said, we're surfing buddies in L.A.
Yeah.
Him and Westhead go surfing. Imagine those conversations. Anyway, do we still have people on the line, Limitless Wonder?
We have a couple, yes.
Well, just tell them to phrase their question very quickly. We'll go to each. Act like you're at a news conference, caller, and phrase your question for Shelty, and then we'll move on. Go ahead.
Dave in Newcastle.
Yes, is O'Neal Cruz afraid to slide? He held up a third yesterday, and he never steals second.
Very interesting question. I will ask that one. Next.
Alan in the car.
Hey, have the Pirates considered signing Trevor Bauer, and if not, why not?
I'm not sure that's Shelty's purvey, but that could be asked as well. Go ahead.
One more, Nick in Pittsburgh.
Two-part question. First, who do you think is the best MLB manager of all time?
To Shelty, you want to ask that?
Yes.
Okay.
And then once he answers that, say, if they were the current manager of the Pirates, how many more wins do you think they'd have this year?
Well, yeah, I don't think we're going to do that. But thank you. And I don't think you'd do that if you were either in his office or on the phone with him with lots of people listening.
No. I mean, that's the kind of thing where you're just trying to be a jerk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing about it is most guys, I mean, there are some guys who are just going to be jerks. I'm talking about, you know, coaches who just want to be condescending and, or, you know, be jerks about whatever. But a lot of them, if you're respectful and you're intelligent or some, you know, research, and they know that, hey, this guy at least has some idea what he's talking about, they'll go back and forth with you a little bit. But that kind of question there ends the press conference. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.